is the microchip the mark of the beast? You could scratch out microchip and you could put a lot of things in there, by the way. All right, but have you heard people say this? Okay. Where does this idea come from? In fact, Seventh-day Adventists believe that Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. That's something that was heavily taught among the Seventh-day Adventist church, and it's historically documented that was something that they taught, that if you worship on Sundays, that was an invention of Constantine, is one of the arguments that gets made. That's actually the mark of the beast. There have been other things where people argued were the mark of the beast, but the microchip, it gets argued that people have talked about putting a microchip with a barcode in our skin so that we can be tracked as Christians wherever we go, and that's the mark of the beast. Recently, with COVID vaccinations being a hot topic, some have mentioned that getting the jab is a mark of the beast. So you can be for or against, you know, COVID vaccinations for all I care, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're against it, please don't use Revelation 13 as your proof why you're against it. And that's all I'm going to try to establish here today. Please don't use Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, as proof that that's why you shouldn't do that. That if you do that, you're actually getting the mark of the beast. All right. So let's think about this for a minute. I don't have any slides up here on this one. But in October 2004, the FDA approved the marketing of a microchip that was implantable under the skin of humans for medical identification. And there were a lot of prophecy pundits that immediately began touting that Verichip technology was the mark of the beast in Revelation 13. But I want to argue with you, there's no biblical basis for believing the mark of the beast is a silicone microchip. You may not like it. We can debate a lot of other things about government overreach and control and things like that if you want to talk about that. But again, I don't think you could make a biblical argument from Revelation 13 that this is the mark of the beast. So first, biblically, the mark of the beast is a contrast to the mark of the lamb in Scripture. Just as the mark that's on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation 14, it symbolizes identity with the lamb, so the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. Now, likewise, when Jesus says that on him who overcomes, he will write, look at Revelation 3:12, he will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and I will write on him my new name. Jesus is not talking about using a magic marker in that passage. We're not talking about a literal mark. And so what is the mark of the beast? Well, I think it's very important in understanding Revelation. I think it's very important to also take a look at Daniel. Okay, the book of Daniel, I think, helps us understand Revelation. So I want to do that for a moment. I want to take a look at the book of Daniel. I had some notes on this, and it's really going to mess me up if I don't have them. Here they are. Got them. Because I don't have Revelation 13 arguments just coming out of the back of my mind, you know, off the cuff here. So the text of Revelation 13, all right, I want you to go to Daniel 7. I want you to keep a finger in Daniel 7, and I want you to keep a finger in Revelation 13. In Daniel chapter 7, and I think Daniel chapter 7 is consistent with Daniel chapter 2, okay? There's a very similar message in both of those chapters. But in Daniel chapter 7, there's four beasts that Daniel sees. And the fourth beast of Daniel 7 is the same beast that you read about in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. Take a look at Revelation 13 and verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. All right, look at Daniel 7 and verse 7. Daniel 7 and verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. 10 horns. Daniel 7's beast, the fourth beast. 10 horns on the Revelation chapter 13 beast. Look at chapter 7 and verse 23 of Daniel. Daniel 7 and verse 23. One of the things we learn is that the fourth beast, what does the fourth beast symbolize in the book of Daniel? He tells us, we don't have to guess at it, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom. Not a microchip, not Sunday worship, not a jab. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and trample it and break it in pieces. What are the 10 horns? Verse 24, the 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. The fourth beast was a nation, was a kingdom. Okay, it was a world kingdom. Look at chapter 13 of Revelation now in verse 7. It was granted to him, this is the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. This beast was a kingdom that was making war against the saints. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Look at chapter 7, verse 21. Verse 21 says, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Again, verse 7 says that was the case with this kingdom here, this beast. Look at chapter 7, verse 25. This wasn't going to happen forever. Verse 25 says he would speak pompous words against the Most High. He would persecute the saints of the Most High. He shall intend to change times and law, and then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. If you read Revelation, you hear that phrase a few times too. And take a look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Okay? Time, and half a time is 3.5 years. It's 42 months. It's 1,260 days. Sometimes in the book of Revelation, that same time figure is referred to in chapter 12 and verse 6, chapter 12 and verse 14, chapter 13 and verse 5. Chapter 13 and verse 5, it's referring to the beast. The beast that Daniel prophesied about in Daniel chapter 7, the fourth beast that was to come. All right? The kingdom of God, what we read in chapter 7 and verse 18 is this. It says, the saints of the Most High, though, shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So is this fourth beast going to stop the kingdom of God from being established? No, it's not. Take a look at verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. The saints are going to conquer the fourth beast. As terrible and dreadful and awful as he is, the saints are going to overcome. Look at verse 27 of Daniel 7. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. What kingdom is going to defeat this powerful earthly kingdom? Well, the only everlasting kingdom I know is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is going to be established during the time of this fourth beast, and the kingdom of God is not going to be defeated by the fourth beast. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11. What's going to happen, even though the saints are going to be contested, even though the saints are going to be attacked and slandered, even though they're going to face a struggle? Well, chapter 12 and verse 11 says the ones who have the mark of the Lamb, it says they are going to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. The kingdom of God is going to stand. The saints are going to possess the kingdom. The saints are going to overcome it. Look at chapter 7 and verse 11. What's going to happen to this beast? Well, I watched then because the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now remember, this is not a literal beast. This is a beast that's represented a nation, a power that's contesting against God's people, and it's going to be defeated. That's the same message that the book of Revelation teaches us. Revelation 19 and verse 20 says the beast was captured, with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Okay? This beast refers to that fourth kingdom. Now, there's a couple different interpretations on that fourth kingdom there. My particular take on that is that's the Roman Empire. I know that's not how you studied it earlier, but that's my particular look. It's not everybody's look, and I don't force that look, but I know that it's something that existed during the time of Christ and when Christ came and when was on earth and when he established his kingdom. All of these characteristics that we see mentioned about the beast, chapter 13 and verse 2, he has power, he has a throne, he has authority. He recovers, verse 3, from devastating wounds. He was worshipped as a god, verse 4 of chapter 13. He opposed and persecuted the saints, chapter 13, 5 through 7. And he demanded and received worship from all but true saints, chapter 13 and verse 8. All these characteristics are true of the Roman kingdom, which I believe is consistent with what Daniel was prophesying about in Daniel 2 and Daniel chapter 7, as he looks ahead to the future to the four kingdoms that would come into existence up into the time of Christ. All right. Hopefully that makes some sense. And hopefully you get what the point of this is. The beast, most importantly, is not a microchip. The beast is not a jab. The beast is not Sunday worship. It's not a thing. The beast is a nation. It's a power. And it's a power that existed when the kingdom was established, which we're not talking about something 2,000 years from the time of Christ. We're talking about something that existed in the first century when the kingdom of Christ was established.